or perhaps those of you who listen to the Radio 4 programme The Archers, will know that today is Stir Up Sunday. Anybody know that? No? Today is known in the Church of England as Stir Up Sunday. And that's the name given to the last Sunday before Advent. Okay, next Sunday is the first Sunday in Advent. And so the last Sunday before Advent, today, 20th of November, is called Stir Up Sunday. And it's traditionally the time when Christmas puddings were stirred and made. Okay? Now, nowadays, you know, we often just buy a Christmas pudding, don't we, from the shops. But in the past, you know, there was a tradition that everybody, each family, you know, would make their own Christmas pudding. And quite often, you know, to make a good Christmas pudding, you've got to sort of give it a bit of time once you've made it. So that's why they made it on the last Sunday before Advent. And everybody used to take turns in stirring the pudding mix. Perhaps some of you used to do this either yourselves or when you were a child, your mum or your grandma might have done it. And don't forget that that really was in the days before we had food processors and other equipment that could stir things up for us really quickly. So it was hard work stirring a Christmas pudding, because quite often, you know, you'd have all your family around, so you'd make a big one, and it would take, you know, a lot of stirring of all those fruit peel and everything to get it going. So the more people that could help, the merrier. And so people used to get their families involved in it. And again, if you've had sort of a traditional Christmas pudding, you know that often they used to put things into it, didn't they? They used to put like a coin in it, a silver coin, and whoever got that in their portion, they were going to have lots of wealth in the year ahead. They used to put a button in it. Whoever got the button was going to be, they weren't going to get married that year. They were going to stay a spinster or a bachelor. Or they'd have a ring in it. And if you got the ring, that meant that you were going to get married the following year. So there's all kinds of traditions about, you know, Christmas puddings. Nowadays, of course, like, oh, you can't do that because you might choke on the coin, or you might break your teeth on the button and end up at the dentist, you know, so we don't do that kind of stuff anymore. But the reason that, you know, there were all kinds of traditions about this Christmas pudding, and you'd have to stir it, apparently, in a certain way from east to west. That reminded you that the wise men came to the manger, you know, to worship Jesus. Quite often, you know, I don't know if you've ever had one of those Christmas puddings where you pour brandy onto it and you set it aflame at the table. Okay, well, again, people said, well, that reminds us, you know, of Jesus' love and power. So, you know, you kind of set your pudding on fire and it tastes nice with brandy in it. I don't know about that. But anyway, the reason that they call it Stir Up Sunday is because every Sunday in the Church of England, they have prayers read out from the Book of Common Prayer. And the one that's always read out on this Sunday, says, "Stir up, we beseech thee, O Lord, the wills of thy faithful people, that they, plenteously bringing forth the fruit of good works, may of thee be plenteously rewarded through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen." Okay? And so it's thought that when the women in church heard that prayer, "Stir up, you know, oh Lord, we beseech thee," it reminded them, oh, we've only got 5 weeks left to Christmas now. I need to get on with my Christmas puddings, and they'd go home and they'd stir up the puddings. I don't know if it's true or not, but anyway. So today, I wanted to ask you a question. I wanted to ask, are you a stirrer? Okay. Now, when we talk about people being stirrers, usually it's not a good thing, is it? Because we talk, you know, if we say somebody's a stirrer, we often mean that they're likely to cause problems, you know, by the things that they say. The people who might cause trouble. You know, a stirrer perhaps is somebody who gossips a lot, talks about other people. And often, you know, in a negative way, we think about people being stirrers. Or we think about somebody as a stirrer, somebody who rocks the boat, somebody who makes waves, you know, not content with things the way they are. And that can be a good thing or a bad thing. You know, sometimes we do need to change things and we shouldn't just let things carry on as they are. But often we call people stirrers if, you know, we think that they're not really helping a situation and making things worse. And I don't want us to be that kind of stirrer, okay? Because the Bible says we've got to be really careful about what we say and do. And it warns us against people who gossip and talk about people and who are negative. Proverbs 16, verse 28 says, "A perverse person stirs up conflict, and a gossip separates close friends." In Proverbs 20, verse 19, it says, a gossip betrays a confidence, to avoid people who talk too much. And it can be very tempting for us to, you know, chatter away about other people. We don't always know all the facts about people's situations, do we? The Bible says that it's better to speak well of people, and if you can't speak well of them, then don't say anything. Keep your mouth shut. The Bible says that words are really powerful. Proverbs 12, verse 18 says, the words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. And James, in his letter, talks about the power of the tongue and says, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who've been made in God's image. Out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this shouldn't be. So I don't want us to be stirrers in that sense of the word, stirring up trouble, causing quarrels, but we're called to be peacemakers who use words well. Paul says to the Ephesians, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what's helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. But in another sense, we are called to be stirrers. As Paul said to Timothy, that he should fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hand. And that version, that word fan into flame in some Bible versions, is translated, stir up the gift of God which is in you. When Gary and I were first married, our house had solid fuel central heating, and we had to make a fire in order to have central heating. We'd never had to do that. I'd never had to do that before, because my parents had always had gas. We didn't have central heating, but then I didn't have to make a fire either. And so we had to learn how to make a fire. And, you know, you've got the paper and the wood and the smokeless coal stuff that we had. And, you know, you've got to get it all going. And after a while, you know, everything seemed to be fine and it was going. Sometimes after a very long while, but, you know, we got into the hang of it. But then when the fire's sort of dying down, you have to stir it up. You have to rake it up with a poker or something like that. You know, get rid of the ash and then before you put more fuel on. Because if you just put fuel on, you effectively killed the fire altogether and then you didn't have any heating at all. So you have to stir it up first, and then rake it around before you could add more fuel. And in the same way, Paul says, we've got to be like that. God's given all of us gifts. And when we become Christians, he puts his Holy Spirit in each one of us. Each one of us who knows God is a temple of the Holy Spirit. But there can be times when it feels like the fire that God's put inside us is in danger of dying out, or we're not using the gifts and talents that God's given us. Maybe we feel tired, listless, you know, maybe we lack energy or enthusiasm. And in those times, God wants to say to us, stir up the gift of God which is in you. Fan into flame those gifts. Ask him to breathe again his life and his spirit onto us and into us. And then, when we've done that, we can stir other people to action. Paul told the Corinthians, when he was talking to them about raising money to help the poor in Jerusalem, I know your eagerness to help, and I've been boasting about it to the Macedonians, telling them that since last year in Achaia, you were ready to give, and your enthusiasm has stirred most of them to action. So the fact that the Corinthians were wanting to help God's people, and they were saving up money and they wanted to give, you know, stirred up other people to action, and they thought, I want to do that as well. I want to do the right thing. I want to help God's people. You know, at the moment, we've not got as many people here as usual because some people are ill. And what they've got is infectious, and they don't want to spread it round, because it's very easy for us to spread around germs and bugs and, you know, make other people ill, and that's not good. But there is a good kind of infection, you know, where we spread enthusiasm and love and hope and goodness. And God wants us to do that. He wants that positive kind of infection that other people will be stirred up to action by seeing our faith and our love and our passion for God, that it will infect them and it will fan their gifts into flame. The prayer that they say in Anglican churches today talks about asking God to stir us up as well. It says, stir up, we beseech thee, O Lord, the wills of thy faithful people, that they plenteously bringing forth the fruit of good works, may of thee be plenteously rewarded through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, God's the greatest stirrer of them all. Not in a bad way, yeah? But he stirs us to change. As Gary said, he loves us as we are, but he's not content to just leave us as we are. Often, you know, God is more eager for change than we are, definitely. He wants to stir us up so that we don't settle down into familiarity, complacency, indifference. You know, sometimes his stirring isn't very nice. In the Old Testament, we read, you know, a lot of the prophets and the things that God did to stir his people, bringing them back from unfaithfulness, wasn't always pleasant. But when God starts to stir us up, it can be a bit unsettling. We can feel uncomfortable. We can feel not really sure what to do. You know, God moves us often out of our comfort zones. Perhaps he asks us to give something up and we don't really want to. Perhaps he says, you know, go and talk to that person, and we think, oh, I don't know what to say, what am I going to do? But if we say yes to God, you know, if we're like the psalmist who said, I desire to do your will, my God, we'll be surprised at what God can do in and through us. We need God to stir us up, to stir up our wills. Because it's only when we actually will to do something, when we're determined to do it, that we'll do it, isn't it? You know, if we're not determined in something, then when the going gets tough, we just stop, we just give up. But if we hide God's word in our hearts, so it directs our path, it directs our actions at all times, then we can do far more than we can imagine. And the result will be this bringing forth of the fruit of good works. Paul says in Ephesians that we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So let's stir up today the gift of God within us. Ask God to stir us up, to stir our will so that we want to do what he wants us to do, the right thing. You know, we might not be going home today to stir up Christmas pudding, but we can encourage each other to fan into flames all that God's put within us. We can know the fire of God on our lives. We can ask him to spread that fire to our families, to our friends, to our local community. Stir up, we beseech thee, O Lord, the wills of thy faithful people. Amen.